Everybody spends a little time on a broken road, but I've been on it so long, I've been calling it home. And if that doesn't speak to you, try and open your heart. I know you'll see what you can do.
That's a cut from the great new album by the Cow Sills, their first new album in nearly three decades. The song is Lend a Hand. The album is Rhythm of the World. And singing lead on that one is our first guest this afternoon. We're happy to welcome Bob Cowsill to the program. Hi, Bob. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. It's nice to meet you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being with us. Now, we had Paul on last week. Frankly, I'm going to be expecting a call from Susan next week.
Okay, we can set that up.
I have been listening to this new album ever since it came out on the 30th. It is just wonderful, terrific, and I find it, after a rough couple of years for all of us, to be some very healing music.
Oh, that's good to hear, Rich. We really appreciate that. It was certainly healing for us.
I have to wonder, between the issues you had with Pledge and then the pandemic, did you ever wonder if this album would ever see the light of day?
Oh, you wonder that, of course, especially, we went the funding route thinking we could, get some money to do this that way. And Pledge Music went, just as we reached our goal, Pledge Music went bankrupt, took all the money. No one got anything, the bands or the pledgers. But luckily, we had bumped into Rock Positano, who's going to executive produce us, we know. And he rescued the whole thing for us and got us in the studio. But you're right. We needed a special angel to resurrect all of this. We thought it was going down the tubes.
And you have to feel great about the response. Every review I've read, everything I've seen about it seems to be so positive. And it's not nostalgia. This is great music for this moment in time.
We're of the moment. That is true. We don't come often, but when we do, it's usually pretty relevant. Now, look, candidly, our sister Susan, she's been wanting us to record for a long, long time, and those equations, they're complex, and they had to wait till all the elements dropped in. And we're very fortunate to have this record, and very fortunate that people are able to get to it, find it, and hear it, so they can let us know what they think. That's success right there.
So many strong cuts on the album. I keep going back to Lend a Hand, which I think it's such a great message, but such a wonderful song.
Thank you. Lend a Hand. I kept passing the same guy on one of our street corners here, one of our homeless folk, and all his possessions are in his shopping cart, and he's got his signs up, and you stop at the red light, you give him a dollar, and then you're further down, so you don't. And, the suggestion is roll the window down. We can do this. We can help each other. We'd much rather us love each other and help each other than what's going on. And believe me, there's a lot of familiarity going around today that was the same as in the 60s. There's an unpopular war going on. We have social and racial unrest again in the country. This is the 60s, what it was like back then when we surfaced. So we're hoping to be a breath of fresh air like we were back then. Now, to get people's minds off things, and there's enough to think about. We've got plenty of time for the hard stuff. But if you've got 47 minutes, we can take it away.
And boy, one of the songs that does that too, and it's just a great rock song. If there were any justice, if radio weren't ruled by corporate overlords, every station would be playing Every Little Secret.
Every Little Secret is a fun song for us. And look, we're very candid about our roots. That's a Fleetwood Mac song, we call it. It just is. It's like, what are we going to deny that we listened to Fleetwood Mac all through the 70s? You can't. And then if you're a songwriter, it gets in your guts. It gets in your DNA, or something happens. Your roots, they call it. And so we're very candid about our roots. Yes, we are from the 60s, and everything from there is in us and coming out as us. Because once you pass everything through you, it becomes you, of course. I mean, you make mistakes along the way. I mean, George Harrison did it with My Sweet Lord, and you're going to get sued because someone thinks you took their song. But you didn't. You're going to bump into each other once in a while out there when you write.
We're talking with Bob Cousill, the great new album, Rhythm of the World, out right now and available everywhere. And that kind of sets the tone for the whole album, that there's a message in the music. And the message is this, that we're not alone in the world, and we ought to help out not only those around us, but the planet.
We have to pay attention. Look, like Susan says in Rhythm of the World, okay, you're having a lot of fun, tons of love to go around, tons of fun. But be aware, people, be aware of what we're doing here. That's all we're saying. Be aware of, while you're having your fun, of your surroundings and your planet, people and each other.
You and Paul and Susan teamed up to write the incredible, powerful song that closes out the album, Katrina. And, well, it's as if you channeled your brother Barry.
You know, as the writer of that song, I have to say the first person shocked me a little. I'd never written a song in somebody else's first person, but this came that way. And so we accepted it. And this is Barry's story. It's a musical memorial kind of thing from his brothers and his sister. And it's the only way we could figure out how to properly deal with it was to write Katrina and record it. And bring him up at the end of the song. And Ascension goes up at the end where we're lifting him. And I don't know. It's real cool.
Yeah, it sure is. Well, your story is similar to a lot of folks who came of age in the 1960s. It started with you and Barry and Bill and John wanting to have a rock band, to be the Stones or the Beatles.
Oh, we want to be the Beatles. I mean, look, wanting to be the Beatles is probably going to get us dropped from our first two labels, because, and I say that because we did, and we patterned our look after them. We got four brothers. There's four of them. We bought their equipment. When they showed up, we were in folk music, but when they showed up, it was a game changer, as you've heard from other groups back then. We dropped the folk guitars. We bought box amps, lug with drums, scratch guitars. We learned all of their songs, because they showed us, here's what you can do. And we started writing because we heard they wrote songs. So at 12 and 13, Bill and I started writing, honestly, because we heard the Beatles wrote songs. To us, whatever they did, we could do. Anybody could do. That was the message to all groups back then. So we took that mantra and ran with it. And then it's going to get in. You're going to become yourself eventually, of course. You know. But these are the early workings of what was going on.
And you guys were very successful. It didn't start with The Rain, The Park, and other things. You were playing not just all over the Newport area, but up and down the East Coast.
Oh, we got regional. We went toward out of Newport, Rhode Island. We branched into New England. And back then, there were teenage nightclubs. I mean, look, we're in grade school and high school, so we're walking a special path back there. And but luckily, you know, I don't know how he did it, but our dad got his residency kind of at a club in Newport, Rhode Island. It was a rough and tumble Navy town back then. But we got at Dorian's, and that's where a guy from the Today Show is going to see us. And they put us on the Today Show just because we were these four young brothers. We weren't famous or anything, but we could play Motown. We could play Beatles. We were very good. They gave us 20 minutes of cover tunes with Hugh Downs of Barbara Walters watching on.
Now, how, and you try to sort this out in the documentary as well. How did your mom end up being in your rock band?
Well, see, we're dropped from two labels and had three or four releases that didn't do anything, and we're still in high school and grade school. So they sit us down after the second label. We have no label. But Artie Kornfeld is who we meet at Mercury Phillips. He writes The Rain, The Park, and other things with Steve Dubois for us and takes the four brothers into the studio and records it. But when we come out, that's when they decide, here's the solution, kids. We're going to put your mother in the band. Now, it's a great story today, and historically it's a great story, and was the right thing to do. But picture two teenage guys and two of their brothers from grade school being sat down saying, here's the solution, your mother is coming into the band. And we're going, who's coming into the band? Who is this solution? And we think what we would think, what any teenage guy would think, you know, this is insanity. So we go back into the studio, get Mom on The Rain, The Park, and other things. She's never recorded, so I have to stand behind her and be near her left ear so she hears the melody of that chorus. I love the flower girl. That's me and Mom singing that because Mom couldn't do it alone. She was too afraid. She never recorded in her life.
Was Hair very freeing for you guys because you were able, you and Bill, to use your production skills to make that the hit it became?
It was fun experience, real quick, We had gotten a message from Carl Reiner and Lee Mendelsohn Productions about a TV special they wanted us on, and Carl sent us that album, the Broadway musical album. We had never heard of Hair, but we thought the song was a hoot. And the joy of that session, we had 2 days to record it because we had to go on tour for Indian Lake. And so this is still 1968. So we have 2 days to record it. We go down to the studio, and right, we get to play the gear, we get to do it, and no one's telling us anything. We had a blast. And in 2 days, we did what you hear. But it was going to sit for 8 months because MGM didn't like it. We sent it to them. We said, we think this is pretty good. Well, no, it's not, because it's not Indian Lake. Okay, thank you. We'll get to you later. And so they turned it down. And we didn't care because at our age, we just thought, well, we'll give them something else they'll like later. But then we were on WLS in Chicago on an interview, and I told them the story, MGM not liking it, and he played it on the air and tried to have the listeners, who is this? Guess who it is? And no one could guess. And anyway, it got some results down there in Chicago, and we had a TV special coming, so MGM timed the release with the TV special. And by the way, unbeknownst to all of us, Aquarius is being done by Three Dogs doing Easy to Be Hard. Oliver's doing a Good Morning Starshine. Fifth Dimension. We don't know any of that, but all of these songs are going to end up in the top five at the same time. So we didn't even know we were on a movement that was going to happen.
One of the guys who was a part of your early success and shows up frequently in the documentary too, recently passed away. Can you talk a little bit about the work Brooks Arthur did with you?
Oh, Brooks, yes. Brooks just passed. Brooks was part of our A-team when we first arrived. It was Brooks engineering, Artie Kornfeld producing the Cow Sills, and we had the Rain the Park and other things. We had a big million-selling hit, and it was all going to fall apart after that. And unfortunately, Artie and Brooks are going to be replaced, and we're going to move on to other team members. But that team should have been held together. Brooks Arthur taught us more about recording during the sessions of the Rain in the Park and other things in that first album. He and Artie and we were all very young and just soaking it all up. It was a very good time in New York City at that time.
The documentary Family Band is so powerful. It's harrowing, but ultimately it's an uplifting story of perseverance and the strength of those family bonds as well. Was it difficult to open yourselves up and tell some of those very painful stories?
Oh, it's very difficult. The first crew, we had to disband it for about 2 years because once they got wind of our father and the compelling story, because he could have his own documentary, but we didn't want to be a member of his documentary. So it took 8 years, but it was a very interesting experience. Louise Palanker, God bless her, was relentless in having us do it. We were going, why? And she's going, well, because people need to know this story. And it was true. And everyone has a great story. We see that now. We have a podcast, the Castles Podcast, where we have guests with their stories. And you wouldn't believe that the history of the first generation, we call ourselves, back in the 60s, we're going to be taken advantage of. We're going to lose our money. We're going to have, you know, people not be good to us, and that's firstborn. Now, today, everyone has business managers. They watch their money, and that's good. We did that for the next generations. So it was way different back then.
The podcast, by the way, is great. Let me try to make you feel at home for the podcast. That's my best cow sound there. But you guys are so fun together. Great guests. Loved it when you had a friend of our show, Tommy James, on. But whoever you have, the Flash Phelps episode was so good. It's just so much fun to watch you guys together.
Yeah, the guests are great. It's fun because there's three of us hosting it, so we try not to talk over each other. Sometimes that's difficult. But these guests from the 60s and beyond, we had Joe Piscopo, his story's great. Their story, it's all about the stories, and everyone's got one. And look, our documentary, it is harsh at times. We understand that. But it was harsh. It's the truth. But it wasn't that unusual. What was unusual about us back then is we were undergoing this stuff in public, trying to keep things out of the paper, you know, about dad and stuff. And back then you could actually control your image somewhat. You could never do that today. The parents of those days who were like our dad would never get away with it today. It just wouldn't be tolerated. But then you say, again, the documentary, it's a story of success because we all made it. I mean, some of us didn't. We're missing three brothers, you know. They took a harsher path and paid a steep price for it.
Well, it's so wonderful to have new Cow Sills music. The album Rhythm of the World, absolutely wonderful. And it's great listening, and so good to have you on with us, Bob. Appreciate you making time for us.
Thank you so much for everyone listening and giving it a shot, too. You know, today's success is if you can get your album so it can be heard, even that's difficult. So at least we know people are going to be able to find it, listen to it, and let us know if they like it. And we're okay with, look, if you don't like it, it's okay.
That's awesome. Bob, thank you so much. Love the album. Great to talk with you. We wish you much success and good health going forward.
I really appreciate you letting people know what you thought of that album, Rich Snake. It goes a long way. Believe me, you guys are so important. Thank you so much.